Back to hit 8:30.
Good morning, everyone. I call the State and Local Government Committee meeting to order on this March 30th, 2023. There is a quorum present. Lead Nash, would you like to move the minutes for March 28th?
I would move the minutes from March 28th for approval, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion prevails, and the minutes for March 28th are approved. This morning, we're going to begin with a brief overview of the legislative budget. So if I could ask Ms. Julich to come forward and just kind of give us a brief overview. I know you presented these numbers and rules, but since they are incorporated in the bill that will be presented next, if you could just give a high-level overview so the members of the committee know where the numbers came from, I would appreciate it. You'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Barb Julich, and I am the controller for the House of Representatives. As the chair stated, the Rules Committee did adopt a budget for the House for fiscal year 24-25. That budget did include a request for an appropriation that would come before this committee for $15,742,000. Of that request, about 14.7% or $2.3 million is tied to members. This includes the member salary adjustment that was put forth by the Legislative Salary Council that would go into effect July 1st, calling for a $3,500 increase per year for member salary. It would also include adjusting the House per diems to match the Senate per diems from $66 to $86. It would include adjusting for projected insurance cost increases for members and for the lodging adjustment that was approved in rules in January, adding funds to the budget to account for that for the next 2 years. The next area of adjustments are in staffing. 75% of the adjustment, or $11.8 million, is tied to things associated with staffing. This would include adding six nonpartisan positions to the House complement to help assist with workloads in nonpartisan areas, as well as some succession planning. In addition, it would include funds to provide staff salary increases to account for realignment with the Senate ranges for a number of our positions that we are currently below. It will allow for realignment with past inflation increases that we have not kept pace with, and then projected inflation into the future so that we keep pace. And these are done in order to try to stay in compliance with an NCSL study that we looked at 5 years ago that recommended you keep pace with inflation and you keep pace with the market. So this proposal would allow for that. In addition, this proposal would allow to increase the stipends and fund stipends for interns. The Rules Committee did adopt a stipend program for interns in January. This would provide funding for that moving forward and increase it from $50 to $75. It also would include the staff portion of health insurance increases over the next 2 years. The final portion of the request is about 10.4% of the request, or about $1.6 million, is non-personnel related. It includes about $1 million of one-time equipment replacement. This includes end-of-life equipment replacement for our network storage and backup for a number of large equipment such as copy machines, photograph printers, monitor replacements, some state fair booth, things like that. It also includes some enhancements to our current operations needing one-time investments, migrating our file and print network into one system. We currently operate three, allow for a better efficiency in operations, and then purchasing headsets for staff, again, for efficiency of operations, especially as we enter remote style work over the summer and possibly during any swing space of a building construction. So, Madam Chair and members, that is a overview of the appropriation request.
Thank you very much. If you would do me a favor, whenever we use abbreviations, I always like to ask you to explain the abbreviation. So I'm not asking you to go into the study, but you referenced the NCSL study. If you could just say what NCSL is and just a very broad picture of what the study
Sure, so NCSL's, I believe, the National...
Council, State Legislators, Conference of State Legislators.
Thank you. So the House commissioned a study by them 5 years ago to look at what had been a 10-year stagnation of salaries, basically. And that report looked at a number of positions and compared them to the market, looked at our structure overall and where we were at, and made a series of recommendations that were implemented and adopted. And then into the future, they recommended that we have an annual adjustment that looked at cost of living and periodically reviewed our salaries against the market. Over the last few years, just with the pandemic and the unexpected inflation, you know, the rates we've provided over the last 2 years did not keep up with inflation. And so this proposal would adjust for that and then continue that recommendation of looking forward and trying to account for that as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Members, do you have any questions for Ms. Controller Julich? Seeing none, thank you very much. Next, we will move on to House File 1830. We'll trade places with Vice Chair Hewitt.
Madam Chair, would you like to move your bill so it's back before us again?
Yes, please. I would move that House File 1830 as amended be back before the committee for consideration.
1830 is before the committee now. I believe we have a number of testifiers. If we could bring up, it looks like the Secretary of State is not here yet, but Matt... Elling? Did I get it right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and state your name for the record. You'll tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is close enough to be correct. My name is Matt Elling with the Minnesota Coalition on Government Information. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Chair Cleavorn, members, my testimony is going to focus on language in the DE amendment that pertains to the Office of the Legislative Auditor. Specifically, lines 28.2 to 28.4 make data that has been public for decades suddenly not public. Now, the particular data at issue is data relating to an audit that is no longer being actively pursued by the OLA. Such data has been treated as public for many years, even when the OLA has not issued a final formal audit report. And this data would include all memos and correspondence that document the reasons that OLA chose not to pursue a terminated audit, in addition to the underlying audit data pertaining to the audit target. And under the amendment language, all of that data would no longer be public, despite really decades of practice otherwise. And we feel this would be a major step backwards for transparency in the state, and we would urge that those lines be deleted from the DE amendment. Just for some background on why this data is important, this kind of data that relates to an audit, is akin to investigative data in other governmental contexts. And inactive investigative data in the civil investigative context, in the criminal investigative context, that data is public. And the reason why is that the public can then see why the government made certain decisions. And so that's the reason why we'd like to make sure that this particular OLA data still remains public. As an individual, I've been able to make data requests from OLA on behalf of citizens who have contacted me who have questions, and that's been very useful data to have available. So we would ask that those lines be struck out, and I'm certainly happy to take any other questions. Thank you for the time to testify.
Thank you, sir. And it looks like Auditor Randall wants to come up.
Come on, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Auditor. And if you could just state your name and title for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Judy Randall. I'm the Legislative Auditor. Thank you for allowing me a moment to respond. I did not know this was coming, but I'm happy to respond to it. The Office of the Legislative Auditor is subject to the Minnesota Government Data Practices Act. We routinely respond to data practice requests, and we follow all of those requirements. What the gentleman before said is not correct. This data has not always been treated as public. These are things that come to us that are, you know, allegations that can allege some pretty serious things that we may not always be able to look into. As you know, we don't have a lot of resources. And so allowing those items to be public, we think, is not appropriate and has not been our practice all along. The way the law currently reads is it's silent on how to handle those. And so we thought it was important to clarify current practice, which is to keep that not public. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Auditor. And we'll bring you back up if we need you. I see Secretary Simon is in the audience. If you could come up and for your testimony, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Romero. If I can ask you to please take your conversation to the back. Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, if you could state your name for name and title for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Simon, Minnesota Secretary of State. It's an honor to be before you all today. I want to thank Chair Cleburne and members for the opportunity to testify in favor of the House State Government Finance Omnibus Bill. The bill makes needed and critical investments in the work of the Office of Secretary of State, particularly in our Business Services Division and in our Safe at Home Division of the office. And so I'll confine my remarks just to that, and I'll be brief. As I'd like to mention, we are a small profit center for the state. Our office, as some of you have heard before, we provide $27 million more to the general fund above and beyond what we receive or what we cost in our base budget. So, the reason for that, you may recall this has come up before, the reason is for that has to do with the fees that we charge in our business services division for things like, well, everything. Those fees are set by you, not us. So we don't raise them, we don't lower them, you do. And many of those fees haven't been touched, raised or lowered since the 1980s. But be that as it may, year over year, the office has increased its contribution to the general fund. In 2011, it was about $16 million. And in that 12-year period since then, our contribution to the general fund, our net contribution, has grown by about $1 million per year. Again, those are all fees that haven't been touched in a long, long time. And the reason I should point out is not that the fees have increased or decreased, obviously, but that the work has increased. There have been more filings, and so that accounts for the money. The funding in this legislation provides an operating adjustment to allow us to maintain our current levels of service while also making needed investments in our business services division and our safe at home division. As to business services, this bill will support an expansion of the information, training, and resources that we provide to individuals seeking to form a business, including proactive outreach to associations and other community partners that assist small businesses. The legislation also funds an increase in the translation of materials that we provide individuals starting a business. We're often the first place that entrepreneurs go. I often say that we're the welcome mat for Minnesota businesses because, as many of you know from personal experience, the very first thing that someone often does when they start a business is not hire someone, not get a license, not get an office. It's making the entity come alive legally, and that you do through our office. Finally, as it relates to business services, the legislation provides funding to support security for our public counter. When our business services division was on the Capitol complex, we had the benefit of Capitol security. But we lost our lease a couple years ago, and we moved outside of the Capitol complex. And one disadvantage, there are advantages, but one disadvantage of being outside the Capitol complex is we no longer can avail ourselves of Capitol police and other security arrangements in the Capitol complex. So we need a contract to provide that additional security. The other critical funding piece within this bill is funding to support the growing needs of the Safe at Home program. And here I'm just going to pause and thank legislators, old and new, for the long-standing bipartisan commitment to this program. I'm old enough to remember, Representative Nash isn't here, he's old enough to remember when we didn't have a surplus, when we were in cutting mode, not adding mode. And even then, over the years historically, no matter who's been Secretary of State, by the way, there's always been bipartisan support for this program, the Safe at Home program, and it's always been shielded from the worst of cuts in times of cuts. It was enacted by the legislature in 2006. Safe at Home protects victims of assault, stalking, sexual violence, and others by providing services that allow program participants to live safely and securely at a private address not disclosed to those in the public or private sector. And as I explained the last time I was here before you members, the needs of the division have grown significantly. I mean, they've really exploded. Participation has increased from less than 200 active participants to just under 4,000 active participants as of December 31st, 2022. So over the last 4 years, the Safe at Home division has experienced a constant increase in applications. The division no longer has enough staff to perform application certification and intakes in a timely manner, and we can't have that in a life-saving program like this. Another area of work that has grown since 2019 with respect to Safe at Home is the explosion in the volume of outgoing mail. It has increased 22%, which means that other staff who are not assigned to mail services must assist in order to get the mail processed to meet statutory requirements for mail turnaround time. These increases in work volume are another reason why I appreciate the investments the committee has made in this bill. The work of the Safe at Home division is critical to the safety of thousands of Minnesotans. It literally is a lifesaver, and I appreciate this committee's continued and historically bipartisan support of this life-saving program. So I just wanted to confine my remarks to those two areas of the office. Thank you very much, members, for your thoughtfulness, for your deliberations. My office is always available to you at any time. I'm personally available to all members. Most of you, I hope all of you, have my cell phone number. You can call me. You can text me. I can come to your office. We can do Zoom, whatever you want. I'm available to you at all times. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Simon. I believe we're going to move on to amendments, Chair, if you're ready for that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So I believe we have the A1, an author's amendment. Would you like to move that and tell us about it, Chair Cleborn?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. The A1 is making some changes that after we presented the bill at our last meeting, some technical things were brought to our attention and they are corrected in the A1. If there are member questions, I would be happy to answer them, but basically it's just the corrections that we needed to make to the bill. Mr. Gehring, do you have other comments that you would like to add to that?
Mr. Gehring? Looks like Mr. Gehring's a no. Are there any member discussions? Seeing none, all in favor of the A1? Say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The A1's adopted. I believe we have an A3 amendment. Who is offering this amendment?
I am.
That would be me. I would move the A3, and this was a request that I had made with the chair, and if we don't approve this, maybe we can continue working on it. But this is effectively an amendment that would ask Minute to report back on the appropriations that we have made in this bill. It's not asking for anything that they don't already have at their fingertips, but the chair and I did talk about this, and Madam Chair, I checked. I did email this to you, but I had connectivity issues when I was not here, so I don't think it actually went out to you. But I'm sure you've read it, and I would imagine you've spoken to Minute, but I don't believe that this is cumbersome or difficult for them to do, and it simply, again, asks for a report on how the money appropriated by this section was spent, mm-hmm. getting some progress and activities, and any potential labor hours that were saved in the process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lee Nash, Madam Chair.
So one of the problems I have with the amendment, and it's I believe in transparency, and I don't have a problem with the underlying idea of the amendment. I'm going to ask members to vote no on it today as we continue to work with Minute. The major problem I see with it is you're asking for a report on two specific dates, and the funding actually extends beyond those dates. So if we want to get a real understanding of what the money was used for, and how it was used and what efficiencies, I would ask that we do that at the later in the process. So members, I ask for a no vote on the A3.
Lead Nash.
Well, I know the likely outcome of what was mm-hmm. just directed to the committee, but I will ask the chair to continue working with me on this because we did talk about reporting mm-hmm. on money appropriated. Again, I don't view this as cumbersome, but I would ask for your support because it is not difficult at all to report on that which we are appropriating in this biennium and mm-hmm. moving forward. So thank you.
Any other discussion to the A3? No, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
The nays have it. The amendment will not be adopted. We have an A4 amendment. Who is offering the A4 amendment?
That is mine, Mr. Chair.
Representative Joy, can you please move your amendment and tell us about it?
I will move this amendment. And this amendment is to eliminate the modifications of the Compensation Council. Mm-hmm. And it's to leave it the way it is, not make the change, take out the changes. I think the way it's been, where it's assistant legislator in establishing, I think is a good. Madam Chair, I guess I would hope you would gladly take my amendment.
Madam Chair.
And roll call, please.
You would. Roll call has been requested. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, I would say to you that the A4 as it is presented in this bill is no longer workable since we adopted the A1. We actually deleted one of the sections and have made changes. So I would ask members to please vote no on this amendment.
Representative Joy.
In I guess I would recommend nonpartisan staff recommend it or renumber it accordingly.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
Or Mr. Chair. So if the sections were deleted in the author's amendment and the numbering is all that's changed, which is mm-hmm. what I believe the chair just said, we can ask, as we did yesterday in the Housing Committee, that if the amendment were to pass, that we direct nonpartisan staff to find the proper home for it in the bill. I know Mr. Gehring has done this many, many times, and I have the utmost confidence that if that is the chair's primary objection, that we more than are capable of fitting this into the proper portion of the bill.
Madam Chair.
Members, I have reworked this section of the bill, and it is in the language and condition that I would like it to remain in. I'm just going to ask for a no vote. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, although we have to take a roll call. Roll call with Mr. Westerman. Will you please take a roll?
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Joy.
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 4, the nays are 8, with 1 excused.
With the ayes being 4 and the nays are 8, the amendment does not prevail. We have an A7 amendment. Who is offering this amendment? Representative Harder, if you could speak to your amendment and move it, please.
Thank you, Chair Hewitt and Rep. Cleavorn. I move that Amendment A7, and I'm going to request a roll call, please.
A roll call has been requested.
Okay, members, this bill is growing government. And specifically, the bill is increasing spending by an average of around 18%, if I have my calculations correct. Some of the areas that I want to highlight for the increases, the governor's office, it appears to be 154% increase. The state auditor has an 18% increase. The Attorney General, 45% increase. Contingent accounts, which even as a commissioner, I generally question those accounts. Sometimes I refer to them as slush accounts for certain departments. Maybe it wasn't, but that was just my perception, is 500%. And yet I don't see any increases for retirement accounts. And I had received many emails and calls regarding the pensions of many Minnesotans. It just seems that the spending is so dependent on a transient budget surplus, which is being eliminated in this legislative session, and there is no decrease or even lowering what families are going to have to pay. Not to mention the effect that I'm not sure what the ramifications will be for local government, city and county government. Because frequently, as state government grows, the mandates come down to local jurisdictions, and we have to manage those. And so when we increase government by so much, I just don't consider this to be smart governance. It's almost like we've won the lottery, and we're not worried about tomorrow. And I am concerned about the people of Minnesota. There's so many emails, phone calls of potentially residents moving out of the state, because how much more are we going to have them pay? In the last that I checked, I believe that we are still in our recession, and we all face such uncertainty. We don't know what prices are going to be, depending upon what your business is. And it just seems that this is the perception is that we don't, this is just my perception, that we don't seem to care. Just, we're going to grow government, pay more, you're going to have less, and potentially, hopefully, you'll be happy with it. And even as a county commissioner, I generally advocated for a zero increase. And the reason why I advocated for that is because we grow government, but we never look at programs or services that don't have the effect, you know, to help people. We just keep doing what we're doing, and then we just add. And then it comes to a point that, you know, how much more can people possibly bear, you know, to pay for all these programs? And so my amendment just moves it down to a zero base, and I would appreciate support on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Harder. Chair Cleburne.
Thank you very much. And Representative Harder, I know that your amendment comes from a good place. I know you and I have philosophical differences about the role of government, but I want you to know I honor your voice and those of your constituents who have contacted you. I'm going to ask for a no vote on the amendment, and what I want the public to hear and what I want our committee to understand is that this bill has been crafted with putting the needs of Minnesotans first. And it's not that we're growing government. What we're doing is restoring government to what it was, or not even, prior to the tremendous cuts that were made, deep cuts that were made by previous administrations that didn't have any way to see, well, I don't want to say it that way, that made tremendous cuts to the bone, through the muscle and to the bone of state government, which caused greater delays in Minnesotans receiving the services they needed or having the ability to know that their data was protected and the good things that they expect of government to occurred in a timely fashion. So this isn't really, so I'll just give you an example. So the Attorney General's office in 2003, for example, let me see where those numbers are. Let me find those for you really quickly. Let's see. Well, I don't. So the Attorney General's office had been radically reduced over the last 20 years. And I know that's a place that you were concerned about our spending. But the office itself, even with the increases that we're going to make, it's going to be below where it was decades ago. That means we don't have the attorneys to prosecute crime. We don't have the attorneys to prosecute antitrust. we don't have the attorneys to prosecute commercial crimes, all things that harm seniors, business, and our state. And it takes valuable resources from our citizens. And that office needs to be restored. So I don't remember where I put the numbers, but there are the whole budget, this entire piece of the state government budget is less than about 2.5% of state spending. But people expect government to work, and this is the foundation on which we build everything. All of the services come on this foundation. So members, I'm just gonna ask you for a no vote on this amendment. We need to be moving forward, not backwards. And as for the question about the pensions and retirees, those allocations were made in the pensions budget. So, and with that, I would ask that we just move to the roll call.
I don't see any other members up here. Representative Harder, would you like to say anything else?
Thank you, Chair Hewitt. Yes, Representative Cleaborn, we do have philosophical differences, and that is fine. That's what makes the world go around, is that we all don't agree on everything, which is perfect. But my perception, and I know many of the people that I serve in my district, is that government shouldn't become so large. The larger government grows, whatever the capacity is, the smaller that we the people become. And it always comes down that the makers are the ones who have to pay for the growth of government. And by some of the bills that are coming through, I'm not sure at what point that this state's going to really have to take a hard look at to what we do, because we're running people out of this state. I mean, I've had calls, I mean, even as of yesterday, that I'm going to have to leave the state because some of the things that are happening with this committee, and there are others, that they just can no longer afford to either support or even pay for. Mm-hmm. So I do support this amendment. And I would encourage a yes vote. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. I just now have the numbers in front of me. I just didn't see where I had them. So in 2003, the AG's office had 510 staff, of which 260 were attorneys. The budget, this budget, gets the whole office to just 260 total employees. And the agency will still be nearly 25% smaller than it was in 2003 if it were to have kept up with inflation. So with that, I will just ask members to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
And I see Representative Lee Nash would like to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do support the Harder amendment. I think that in a time when Minnesotans are being, I believe the chair said, asked to cut through the flesh, through the muscle, and to the bone, that's what Minnesotans are going through. So I do support Representative Harder's amendment and would ask for a yes vote. Mm-hmm.
Seeing no other discussion, Mr. Westman, can you take the roll?
Chair Cleaborn.
No.
Chair Cleaborn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy.
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 4, the nays are 8, with 1 excused.
The ayes being 4 and the nays are 8, 1 excused, the amendment does not prevail. I see we have a A8. Mm-hmm. Who is offering this amendment?
That is mine, Mr. Chair.
Representative Nadeau, could you explain your amendment and move it, please?
Yes, I will move the A8. This one is pretty simple. It's similar to Representative Harder's, except I have more of a philosophical belief in having actually funding government, maybe at more of a rate than Representative Harder, a little bit less than Representative Cleaborn. I bring this primarily not to starve government, not to make a point, not to play politics. I think that our job is to prioritize. And as I look at this, and I look at a 3%, what my bill does is actually add 3% to the base. It just simply does that. And so as I look at this, by doing a 3%, it would free up about $440 million. And I think that those dollars should actually, and let me back up, 3% is, you know, very, kind of corresponds with what our employees make. County employees, state employees, I mean, it kind of rolls right in there. And I think that, you know, our job is to kind of prioritize, and I happen to sit on pensions. And I happen to sit with Representative Herr and Representative Berg, and I've learned a lot over there. And I know that they've both worked incredibly hard to try to meet the needs of state and county employees, police and fire. And I think it's unfortunate that they have been, that our targets have been so small. And so what I'm hoping that we can do that is take this $440 million, and I don't touch any of the, you know, the pension payments that we have in here, our ongoing obligations. Those don't change at all. But what I'm hoping that we can do is slow government down a little bit and take a leadership role in trying to provide for the needs of our pensioners. You know, teachers right now have to work until they're 66 years old. We have a number of police and fire who literally are going on duty disability, and we need to take care of those people. And there's some really good legislation that we've heard in this committee that actually provides services for those people to try to get back in the workforce. I don't know what the target request was, but I believe it needs to be in the billions. And adding the target for, you know, for pensions was $600 million. I think that this $440 million that we could free up, I don't address shifting it in my amendment because I don't know how, but I do move my amendment so that we reduce overall state spending and we shift those dollars over to the pension targets. And with that, I will call for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
It's been a roll call requested. Chair Cleburne, if you could speak to the amendment.
Well, thank you very much, Representative Nadeau. You know, we just heard about horrible inflation from our colleague, and when we say 3%, we're going to cap it at 3%, what we're saying is to all of our staff, all of the people who work in state government, sorry, you just get to pay the cost of inflation because I don't want to grow government. And that's the argument that you're giving me right now. And I believe that the state employees, the people who do the hard work of our state government, also deserve a living wage, and that we should make sure that our budget reflects the value of their work. So if I adopted your amendment, that would not be possible. We couldn't pay our staff what they need to be paid to catch up for years that we didn't pay them, right? What your amendment would also do, which you did not mention, is it would eliminate any of the one-time funding that was extended, and it would only allow for the base funding from that year of 2021, I believe. It's just not something that I'm willing to do. The other piece that you are asking me to do, which is above my pay grade, is change the targets, which are global, and I have no authority to do that. So with that, members, I would ask for your no vote, and let's move on and make sure that the state functions for the citizens of Minnesota.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Cleburne. I don't intend to ever try to disparage the, you know, the workers. I'm, you know, of the state. I'm not, you know, I'm a county worker, and you know, the work that we do is important. We do it for all kinds of reasons. So it's really not. I was just trying to raise it as a priority issue. You know, I think that, you know, we have small increases in our pay as public workers that are, you know, kind of built in. The inflation kind of covers that. I'm not trying to starve government. I was just bringing it forward as a way that we could try to help. And I get it that we don't get to set targets, but I sure would like to make a statement somewhere that I think that Chair Herr's committee, you know, kind of got the short shaft. So, but thank you for indulging me.
Representative Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This doesn't have to not happen often, but I do want to thank you for just saying that out loud, for using a little bit of time to center our workers that are suffering because we just don't have enough to touch everybody in the way that we should for pensions. So thank you for just saying that. Like, the amendment wouldn't do that technically, but just thank you for saying it out loud. I really, really appreciate that. Our workers don't get talked about enough. So I'm very pleased that you said that.
All right. Seeing no other discussion, Mr. Westman, if you could take the roll, please.
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy.
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Yes.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 4, the nays are 8, with one excused.
The ayes are 4, the nays are 8. And there's one excuse, the amendment does not prevail. We have another amendment, the A9. Who is offering the A9 amendment?
I'll move the A9, Mr. Chair, and request a roll call.
Thank you, Representative Nash, to your amendment, and move it, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In state government, we deal with what is colloquially known as the Odyssey Fund, and what this request is that if a transfer happens in 1 year and it is within 10% of the appropriated amount for the next biennium, that that is decremented from the amount that is appropriated. So effectively what we're trying to do or trying to accomplish is there have been IT requests made by agencies that then transfer it into the Odyssey Fund, and we're trying to prevent them from coming back and asking for a very similar amount in the next biennium after having transferred that out. So it is, I'm not going to use specific examples because I don't think the chair would let me, but anyone who follows this knows what we're talking about. And I think that if we are going to appropriate money for IT use only to have it transferred out and then have an agency come back and ask for a very similar same amount, that we should not reward that with giving the same appropriation again. I request your support, and I believe I did ask for a roll call.
Representative Nash, I apologize. You did ask for a roll call, Madam Chair.
Thank you. While I understand exactly the coded message, what I would say to you is that this amendment actually applies to all agencies. And so as a result of that, I would say, members, please vote no.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Madam Chair, most of them don't have this problem. Most of them at least deal with it appropriately, and sometimes we have to take corrective measures, and this is one way that we can do so. The coded message, I like that. The coded message is for an agency that had an egregious outlier, and you now have money in this budget to give them exactly what was and more of what was transferred out, and I just don't understand how we can do that. That is beyond the pale to me. So I know I'm going to lose, but I look forward to the vote because we're rewarding a lack of oversight and a lack of the inability to deliver on that which was requested. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. And are there any other discussions seen? Oh, sorry, yeah. Representative.
I would say there is in this bill. There is a whole section that will provide for performance, accountability, oversight, and so members feel confident that expenditures will be reviewed as they go forward with this budget in place. So with that, I would ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Chair Cleavorn. Seeing no other discussion, Mr. Westerman, can you take the roll, please?
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn, no. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt, no. Representative Nash?
Yes.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Bonner?
No.
Representative Bonner, no. Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Berg, no. Representative Freiberg?
No.
Representative Freiberg, no. Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Hansen, no. Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Harder, aye. Representative Herr?
No.
Representative Herr, no. Representative Joy?
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, aye. Representative Newton?
No.
Representative Newton, no. The ayes are 4, the nays are 8, with 1 excused.
But the ayes being 4 and the ayes are 8 and 1 excused, the amendment does not prevail. We have a A10 amendment. Who is offering the A10?
I will move the A10 and request a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Lead Nash, to your amendment, please move it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move adoption of the A10 and did request a roll call. This amendment is in response to information that we learned earlier in the week, and it would come out of the Department of Admin's budget. What we saw and learned earlier this week is that while renovations are going on for the governor's mansion, a new rental facility or rental property has been obtained for the governor, at least preliminarily. We hope preliminarily, it can still change, for over $17,000 a month in rent. I will say that again, not $1,700, $17,000 a month in rent to provide a temporary home for, I believe, 18 months for the governor and his family. Now, I will preface this by saying that the governor has unique circumstances, being the governor, and we need to be able to secure the facility within which whomever occupies the governor's office lives. But I do not believe that $17,000 plus a month is an appropriate amount. You know, we have been routinely told that we are one Minnesota, and what I know is that I called a good number of people, I did a fair amount of research, and almost nobody that I know, in fact nobody that I know, is paying $17,000 a month in rent. If we are to wish to promote a one Minnesota-like approach to government, and we want to send the appropriate message to the citizens that live here, I think that we can say that an executive-like facility could be rented for $2,500 a month. And part of the research that I did led me to find where are some of the highest rents that we might find in our country. And I struck gold in Manhattan, New York. And I didn't have time to print this out, but this is apartments.com, 1438 3rd Avenue on the Upper East Side, 4 beds, 3 baths, sounds very nice, the pictures are delightful, $16,500 a month in rent in Manhattan, one of the highest places. So what we are looking with the $17,000 lakeside home rental is a Manhattan solution to a Minnesota problem. This is not Minnesota. This is not what we, this is, we, again, I believe that the governor should be housed somewhere that can be hardened and made safe. And what I know in speaking to many of my friends in security, both in police and private sector, is that just about any place can be hardened to make it secure. They said that a $17,000 a month house is not a prerequisite to making it secure. When I heard the number earlier this week, as I'm sure you all did, I had to double check the number and make sure that there wasn't an inadvertent zero added to something, because it was eye-popping. We are not Manhattan. We are Minnesota. And we have been routinely told that there is a one Minnesota vibe that we should all feel very comfortable with, and that this, to me, is so outside the pale. I don't even know how to tell the people who are my constituents that this is okay. And again, I'm an advocate for putting the governor, whomever occupies that office, in a safe place that meets the needs of the family who occupies it.
This is not it. This is not even as this is more expensive than the Upper East Side in Manhattan, for crying out loud. So this is a Manhattan solution to a Minnesota problem. I believe that not one of the 201 legislators that are here believes that $17,000 plus is correct, is right. So I welcome your discussion and justification of $17,000 a month, and I did request a roll call, and I hope we can have a lively discussion.
Chair Cleburne.
Thank you. So one of the things about government is making sure that we use our time efficiently and appropriately. An amendment that would say that we would only spend $2,500 a month to secure the first family, provide ceremonial space, and to make sure that the affairs of state are conducted in a manner that we would want to honor the citizens of the state with this executive position. I don't even know where to go with that $2,500. I mean, in Plymouth, to rent a two-bedroom apartment, I mean, there are mythical apartments that you can rent for $850 a month, but nobody can find them. A two-bedroom apartment in Plymouth generally costs people about $2,300 a month. So I don't know where this mythical house that you are proposing, with all of the security necessary, with all of the ceremonial space that may or may not be necessary during this transition period, or that would honor the people of Minnesota, because it's the people's house, it's not the governor's house. I will say that. If you can find that house, I would be happy to talk to you about that, and I'm sure the governor's team would be happy to look at that as well. None of us, not one of us on this committee wants to waste money. And I feel like this amendment is totally a gotcha amendment, trying to get us to say that we support whatever allegation you were throwing at us. So members, just vote no. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair.
We'll get to you. You want to go last, or you want to go now? I was going to make a comment as the chair, as a realtor. Last night I heard this, and I got on the MLS right away. We don't have rental properties really available that would suit the needs of our governor or most of us on this committee. They're for the security purpose alone, for the size, the proximity to downtown St. Paul, they're just not available in this market. I'm sure that we could probably come up with a number of friends or whatever that might have them, but realistically, in a fair market, and I would imagine that I got to give it to the office that did evaluate this. I believe it was done by MMB. I know they did their homework, just because I sat there for 2 hours last night trying to figure out where it would be a safe place. I was asked this as a realtor, where would I put this person? And I could not find any place. I don't think our governor belongs in Manhattan. So I think that this was really a challenge for whoever had to do this. You know, because the price tag did stun me, and I don't think it, I think everybody's going to say that, but the truth is, you have a complex, complicated problem, and we heard it very clear from the Sergeant of Arms last week that the hostility towards elected officials is extremely high. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, we are all feeling it. I'm feeling it. And we need to make sure they're protected, their family's protected, and that any governor, regardless, like you said, Representative Nash, from any side of the aisle, should be protected and should be able to not have their livelihoods threatened at any time. So I guess I get it. This is a big thing. So would you like to go now, or I got members on my side, or what would you like to do?
Oh, please. I'd love to hear from your members.
All right. Representative Feinberg.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, there were references made to Manhattan, but I appreciate Chair Cleburne's references to Plymouth. I know I saw this $2,500 figure, and there's quite a few new apartments in Golden Valley where I live, so I just looked up on apartments.com what the cost of it was. You know, Arcata Apartments, upper end, you know, studio to two bedroom apartment, is in the $1,595 to $2,865 per month range. So don't know, maybe we could put the governor and his security team in a studio apartment at the amount suggested by this amendment. Xenia Apartments, 1 to 2 bedrooms, goes up to $3,880 a month. South Worth Apartments up to $3,000 a month. So, I mean, those are just a few examples. I think your characterization of this as a gotcha amendment is absolutely correct. It's just not practical. There's no apartments you can find that would meet the piddly amount put in this amendment. So I'll be voting no.
And then your spirit, Representative Nash, we have a number of members that signed up. I'm going to keep going down the list and put you last. Is that okay?
Oh, by all means.
Not person. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Cleavorn. You know, Sunfish Lake is right next to my district. And I'll be real clear, it is much wealthier than my district. But it also is a very, it's a community that can be, if there was an incident or an accident or something, it could be easily secured. Not just the places that are in there, but where it's located, how it's laid out, the homes that are in there, and if the governor is going to use that for also the functions of the state, it's also not just the governor that would be protected, but the people that are visiting him as well. Do I like paying that much? No. But, you know, where I live, just a few miles away, I've had people at my house repeatedly. And securing a site is not very easy, mm-hmm. No matter how much you think about it, if something happens. And I've had constituents contact me about the price on this, but also they know Sunfish Lake, and they know to get in and out of there, you can protect the executive. And so I think that's important during this temporary time. Mm-hmm. Well, the residents will be upgraded, that I think it's appropriate that we do that, because we're in a different world. And we want to make sure that not only executive and his family, but the people who visit him for the affairs of state are secure and safe. And I think by having this location, that will help that. Does it eliminate threats? No. But I think it will help eliminate those threats. And so I would oppose the amendment.
Representative Joy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment, you know, when I hear the $17,000, it's a lot of money. You know, when we make spending of taxpayers' money like this, you know, the $2,500, you know, Representative Nash is probably being like me with my dollar amendments. We know it's just not feasible. But, you know, I always say there's a process when you look for things, and you know, did they do research studies on every home? Did they spend 12 months on this, or did we just do this in a period of 2 months? I don't know the history behind this. But $17,000 to me, it just seems, I mean, that's large. I mean, we got nursing homes, people that are closing, stuff like that, and to come out to say we're spending $17,000 on the governor's residence when other people in the area are hurting, you know, we just heard Representative Freiberger over there say there's places for 3,000, 4,000, you know, I mean, stuff like that. What due diligence did we do to research to find that the 17,000 is the best place for us to put the governor as far as comparisons? Was this on the market? Has this always been rented for 17,000 a month? Or is this new, you know, history? Just, and I understand protecting them and everything we need to do, but, you know, it's hard for me to digest $17,000 a month when we're going through and we're hearing emails and getting constituents from my area saying how much, you know, Jim, the nursing home's going to close if we don't get more money. And what we threw in the nursing homes is probably going to close them anyway. But it's just hard for me to digest. I just think I hope there's other ways they can look and see if there's other places, or they did their time and their reference on this to figure out if this is common for what that place rents for. Thank you.
Great points, Representative Joy, but I really think we have to be very, very careful here, because the people that have made this decision are not politicians like us. They're hard Minnesota workers that really did their job, and I have the faith in our system because I don't believe they're partisan. I think they went out and, because again, they have to answer for this, right? We're talking about it right now. We're curious. But I think to put this price tag out there, they're ready to answer for it. So I, the department that did this, I have total faith in. It looks like Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would offer this. Chair Cleavorn, you said that this is not an honoring number. What is? What number would you like to put in there? We could do an oral amendment right now here in committee, and we could put in an appropriate number. What I know from my research for the Housing Committee is that the average Minnesotan's mortgage payment, for those that make mortgage payments, is $1,574 a month. That's the average amount. That's driven from research, Representative Hewitt. It is an online aggregated compiler of data. So you can smirk all you wish, but it's actual data that's been compiled. I'm just saying, what number is appropriate, Madam Chair? What would you like to throw in there? We can do an oral amendment right now. It's a very simple amendment. We can change the amount on line 1.5, and I'd be thrilled to do that.
Chair.
Representative Nash, I'm going to take the honor here again. I mean, if you're looking on Zillow or whatever, those great data sites, that's big data. That's not how realtors or professionals do their business. And I think that number is more like 2,200 because I'm trying to qualify a number of people right now. So I think that wherever you got your data, I respect that. But as we all know, data is in the eye of the beholder. And I do this for a profession. So Chair Cleavorn.
Thank you. I'm just going to say one thing about this amendment, and then I'm going to ask you to just call the roll. I don't even know if it was requested. But if Bill Gates walks into a bar that I'm sitting in or a restaurant that I'm sitting in, the average salary in that place goes up for me, right? It doesn't change my pay, doesn't change anything. We all know that people who want to be nefarious with statistics can be nefarious with statistics. What I'm saying to you is this amendment was not brought for the reason of doing the work of government. We have a whole room of people who are sitting in this room listening to a political debate about whether or not we should have safe, secure housing for the governor. This amendment, more than any other amendment I've heard this year, was intended. Why I can't say that. This amendment, more than any other amendment that we have heard this year, is a waste of our time, and I ask for you to please call the roll.
And Mr. Chair, I still have the floor. So procedurally, I asked the chair to yield to a question to answer my question, so I still have the floor.
I don't believe I acknowledge that. As the chair, I don't believe I acknowledge
that.
Well,
Mr. Chair, I would like to conclude the proposal of my amendment by saying, one, I was just called nefarious.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did I call on you? You're talking over me right now.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would seek recognition then.
Much better, Representative Nash. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Cleavorn just used the word nefarious about the intent of my use of data, and that is not accurate. So we have done very well to not question motives yet this committee time, and I would say that throwing that out there over the intent of my use of data is incorrect, but the chair said that we want to honor Minnesota by honoring the chief executive. I think that 17,000 is a lot of honor, and I just don't know how to justify that to the people who I will run into as I go throughout Minnesota. So again, you've got the votes. You'd like to go to a vote. I'm just going to point out that, once again, this is a Manhattan solution to a Minnesota problem. This is not honoring to the people of Minnesota. I think that there are much more modest things that can be found. I am willing to talk about what is the appropriate amount, but $17,000-plus a month is not that amount. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Lead Nash. And Mr. Westman, please take the roll.
Chair Cleavorn.
No.
Chair Cleavorn. No. Vice Chair Hewitt.
No.
Vice Chair Hewitt. No. Representative Nash.
Yes.
Representative Nash. Aye. Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Bonner. No. Representative Berg.
No.
Representative Berg. No. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Representative Freiberg. No. Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Hansen. No. Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Harder. Aye. Representative Herr.
No.
Representative Herr. No. Representative Joy.
Aye.
Representative Joy, aye. Representative Nadeau.
Aye.
Representative Nadeau. Aye. Representative Newton.
No.
Representative Newton. No. The ayes are 4, the nays are 8, with one excused.
The ayes are 4, the ayes are 8, with one excused. The amendment does not prevail. I believe we are on the discussion of the bill now. Do you want to go first, or do you want to see if anybody else comes up? Anyone else want to discuss it, or else we're going to go to Lead Nash right away? Lead Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Madam Chair, if I could ask a question, and I'll reference the lines that I'm going to, is in lines on page 15 of your amendment, lines 15.18 through 15.23.
Would you repeat the numbers one more time?
Yes, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. Lines 15.18 through 15.25, it is the budget appropriations for minority councils.
Yes.
So, Mr. Chair, my question for the chair is, I serve on the API board. Representative Kosnick, who is where he's here in spirit, used to serve on the Latino Affairs Council, and I know that the work of all of them is vitally important to our state, and I believe that you and I have absolute agreement on that. But I'm looking at the appropriations, and the appropriation on line 15.18 is higher, and I'm just wondering how we arrived at those, because I think that the work of the different councils being equally important should be equally appropriated.
Chair Cleaborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with all of these numbers, they were the governor's recommendations. You and I had that phone conversation. I've already explained that to you. That's what they are. It was the part of the universal agreement that we would do.
Lead Nash.
Mr. Chair, and much like the chair likes to have acronyms spelled out in committee, I like to oftentimes bring the conversations that we've had relative to things that are in the bill to light. I feel very strongly that the work of these councils is of equal import, and I think that as we move forward, they should be appropriated to an equal amount. And I would hope that maybe you have the discretion over what falls in. You could change your mind, and I'd like to talk about that and perhaps bring an amendment to the floor to create an equal appropriation for each of them. Take the total amount, divide it by the total number of councils, and go from there, because they all do the same level of import work. So that's just my question, and you've answered it, so we can possibly move on. Mr. Chair, I do have another question.
You can ask.
Thank you. It is in page 27 through 28 of the bill. There are references to Chapter 13 of law in here on page 28, lines 28.15 through 28.16. There is a removal of Chapter 13. As I was looking through the bill, I was informed that these changes that are being made in this bill were not heard in the Judiciary Committee. Clearly, they are the Chapter 13 reference is germane to judiciary, and I was wondering if the referral is going to send it to that committee before it goes anywhere else.
Chair Cleaborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Nash. We are vetting this bill at this moment. I have not received any information from judiciary that they need to see this, and we are. That's the answer I have for you.
Chair Nash, Lead Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I will register my objection. We have done this in multiple committees that have jurisdiction over, have partial jurisdiction, and we are bypassing those that have primary jurisdiction. I find that troubling. I think that the members of the Judiciary Committee are infinitely more qualified to talk about this particular issue than we here in state government finance. I am disappointed that this is being dropped in, and along with the OLA language that we had heard just a little while ago, I know that that was never heard here in this committee before, and yet it is present in the bill. So I have concerns about engrossing language into a bill here in the State Government Finance Committee that have needs to be somewhere else or having never been heard in this committee previously to the creation of this bill as amended. So I would hope that we could strip those out before it goes anywhere, because that's we are a body of process, and we should, to use your word, we should honor the other committees by allowing those members of those committees to have conversation relative to any policy changes that are being made, as opposed to just dropping into the State Government Finance Bill before it leaves committee, because these were never heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Lead Nash. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to request a roll call on the bill before we have it move out of committee.
The roll call on the bill has been requested. Seeing no further discussion, Chair Cleburne, do you have anything to close on? And
members, this is a really great bill. You know, today I'm kind of irritated with myself that I took the bait on one of the amendments, but I did. But what we have before us right now is a really good bill. It sets a good foundation for the work of the people. It makes our systems work. We have in our committee broad jurisdiction. We serve the people of Minnesota when we make sure that our constitutional offices have what they need, when the legislature can do the work of the people, when the 30 agencies, boards, commissions, and councils have the tools they need to do the work of the people, when management and budget, the central service agency of our state, has the tools that they need to do the work of the people, when Minnesota IT can protect the data of Minnesotans and to make sure that the interface that they have to apply for state services is easy and meets them where they are. This is critical work. When the Department of Revenue has the ability to receive the funds of the state in a timely and efficient manner, that's good work for the people of Minnesota. When the Department of Administration has the tools that they need to preserve and protect and care for the assets of our state, this is good work. The entities that are in the jurisdiction of this committee are the foundation of our state government. This bill restores the capacity of our state to carry out the work of governance and management with appropriate staffing levels. I encourage each of you to vote yes on this work, our work for the good of Minnesota. Thank you, and with that, I ask for your yes vote.
Thank you, Chair Cleburne. And Chair Cleburne renews her motion that House File 1830, as amended, be re-referred to Ways and Means, and that staff is directed to make any technical corrections as needed.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 1830, as amended, be re-referred to Ways and Means.
There has been a roll call. All those in, wait, do we have to move it and then we go back and take the roll call? Okay, so Chair Cleburne renewed her motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
There was a roll call requested.
Okay, sorry. That was my one error. Mr. Westerman, will you please take the roll?
Chair Cleburne.
Aye.
Chair Cleburne, aye. Vice Chair Hewitt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hewitt, aye. Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Nash, no. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Bonner, aye. Representative Berg.
Aye.
Representative Berg, aye. Representative Freiberg.
Yes.
Representative Freiberg, aye. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hansen, aye. Representative Harder?
No.
Representative Harder, no. Representative Herr?
Aye.
Representative Herr, aye. Representative Joy?
No.
Representative Joy, no. Representative Nadeau?
Aye.
Representative Nadeau, no. Representative Newton?
Aye.
Representative Newton, aye. The ayes are 8, the nays are 4, with one excused.
The ayes are 8, the nays are 4, with one excused. The bill is on its way to Ways and Means. Members, thank you for the robust discussion today. Our next meeting is to be determined. Oh, Chair Cleaborn.
I just want to take this minute before you adjourn us to just say thank you. I'd like to say thank you to our House nonpartisan staff. You've worked tirelessly this whole session, not just on this committee, but on the other committees that you are assigned to. I cannot express my debt of gratitude enough. You are amazing. To our committee legislative assistants, we've had 3. I would like to say thank you to Eric Peterson, to Sam O'Neill, and to you, Jonah, for stepping in and doing great work to do the work of this committee. For our committee administrator and our researcher, I can't do this work without your brain trust, and I thank you with a debt of gratitude as well. To our page, who has bailed me out with everything and staying the late hours to get our packets ready, I want to say thank you. To our team, both Republican and Democrat, the robust conversations we've had have made each of us better legislators. And I want to say thank you for the dialogue that we've had, both in this committee and outside of committee. Without that, we cannot do the good work of the state. So I thank you. And when we have different perspectives, that's where the growth begins. So I appreciate that. And for every member of the public who has come to testify in this committee, your voice is the voice that matters. So I want to say thank you for doing that. And we may have other meetings as necessary, but with that, I will give up the floor and to you, Chair Hewitt.
I believe Lee Nash wants to say a few words.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will echo what Chair Cleaborn said. And I will thank everybody, including partisan staff as well, Ryan and on our side, and thank you to everyone here. And I do enjoy a little bit of robust discussion. I may instigate a lot of it, but I think that it's important that we have these conversations because it does ultimately make Minnesotans at least feel heard, because there are antipodal views often expressed in this committee. I want to thank my committee members. I have 3 brand new legislators on my team, and they have done an amazing job. But I also just want to thank all members here, including a retired senator or a turncoat senator. I think that this has been a great committee, and we've had good discussion. And thank you to our nonpartisan staff, as always. I love that we can reach out to you, and within nanoseconds, you're responding and getting onto the things that we have requested. So I'm very grateful to your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee Nash, and I want to thank everybody for your grace when I had to drive the boat. So I appreciate it. Our next meeting is to be determined. At this point, we are adjourned. Thank you.